Welcome to Cowboy Church with your host, Russ Weaver, and Susie McIntyre. So sit back and enjoy some good singing, some great testimony, and some good preaching. Welcome to Cowboy Church.
Hey, I'm Susie McIntyre.
And I'm Russ Weaver.
And welcome to Cowboy Church. We're so glad you're here.
I like being a part of Cowboy Church.
Oh, me too. I think it's phenomenal. Well, you know, when I get those emails that Jimmy sends to us,
yes,
and people say how much they enjoy it and how much they've been blessed, maybe they can't go to church. You know, they can get it on the TV. Thank you for helping make that happen.
Amen.
Amazing grace, how sweet the sound that saved a wretch like me.
Amazing grace, how sweet the sound that saved a wretch like me. Well, I once was lost, but now I'm found. I was blind, but now I see. Through many dangers, toils, and snares, I have already come. 'Twas grace that
just sing the third verse with me. When we've been there 10,000 years.
When we've been there 10,000 years, bright shining as the sun. Well, we've no less days to sing God's praise than when we first begun.
Now I want you to turn around and give somebody a big old handshake. Tell them, I am so glad you're here today.
Amazing grace, how sweet the sound that saved a wretch like me. Well, I once was lost, but now I'm found. I was blind, but now I see. I once was lost, but now I'm found. I was blind, but now I see. Will I see?
Come on, let's give the Lord a big old hand clap. Yeah. Woo! God is good all the time, isn't he? You know, I love the new songs and I also love the old song. This is one that has been brought over across the seas on boats. It's been preserved by God through hundreds of years. It's called How Great Thou Art. Is he good today? Huh? We were getting a few sprinkles. Was somebody praying out there and the rain kind of stopped?
Oh Lord my God, when I in awesome wonder consider all the worlds thy hands have made, I see the stars and I hear the roaring thunder, thy power throughout the universe display. Then sings my soul, my Savior God to thee, how great thou art, how great thou art. And then sings my soul, my Savior God to thee, how how great thou art, how great thou art. And when I that God, his son, not sparing, he sent him to die. Well, I scarce can take it in. And that on that cross, my burden gladly bearing, well, he bled and died to take away my sin.
Now this is the good part we have to look forward to.
When Christ shall come with shout of acclamation to take me home, what joy shall fill my heart. And then I shall bow in humble adoration, and then proclaim, my God, how great thou art.
Would you stand with me and sing it?
Then sings my soul, my Savior God, to thee, how great thou art. How great thou art. And then sings my soul, my Savior God, to thee, how great thou art. How great thou art.
Let's give him a big old round of applause.
He was anointed by God through Samuel because God approved of him and he approved of his leadership in verse 13. Now it says this in verse 18 that he was a musician. He was a strong man. Now understand this. We first meet David, the next chapter, we talk about when he slew Goliath. But a chapter before, we get to know him. Those of you who went to Sunday school and you saw the little pictures of little David with his little slingshot, that was not the David that was really there, because the chapter before he went to slay Goliath, we see him as a musician, a strong man, a heroic warrior who speaks well, who's good looking, and the Lord was with him in verse 18 before chapter 17 ever showed up. You notice that he was a heroic warrior already. Why was he a heroic warrior? Because when he's out tending sheep, he also was in charge of keeping them safe, and he's the guy who took barehanded a lion and a bear and took his sheep back from them. Now, a child doesn't do that. And I'm going to tell you, good parents, a guy like Jesse is not going to send his child out to be exposed to the lions and bears unless he trusts that that guy knows how to take care of himself when the lions and the bears come by. So the next chapter we see him, and let's read this. This is really fun. Goliath comes out and challenges Israel. So the Philistine said to David, am I a dog that you come to me with sticks? And the Philistine cursed David by his gods. And the Philistine said to David, come to me, and I will feed your flesh to the birds of the air and the beasts of the field. Then David said to the Philistine, you come to me with a sword and a spear and with a javelin, but I come to you in the name of the Lord of hosts, the God of the armies of Israel, whom you have defied. You begin to understand why God put the youngest in this situation. What's the mouthiest one in the family? If they're not winning the argument, they change the argument. They just keep going. David is here telling this guy exactly how things are. Verse 46, this day the Lord will deliver you into my hands, and I will strike you and take your head from you. And this day I will give you the carcasses of the camp of the Philistine to the birds of the air and the wild beasts of the field, that all the earth may know that there is a God in Israel. Then all this assembly shall know that the Lord does not save with sword and spear, for the battle is the Lord's, and he will give you into our hands. You know, David wrote another place. He said this. He says, some trust in horses, some trust in chariots, but we're going to trust in God. And what he's doing is he's talking that guy's language, but the concept isn't changing. See, the great trash talkers have 1,000 ways to say the same thing. Here he is, he's talking this. He says, you come to me with a sword and a shield and a javelin and a spear. He said, I come to you in the name of the Lord God. He wasn't even trusting any slingshot. He says, I come here in the name of the Lord, and I will feed your carcass to the birds and the people around watching. He's not saying this for Goliath's benefit. He's saying it for all these other people because he knows as soon as he kills Goliath, the war's on. A great leader understands that the immediate battle is not the big one. There's a bigger battle. Mental toughness. Yeah, you know the reason I like trash talking? Is my dad was a great trash talker. We had a weekly rodeo at Lagoon, and there was a guy. Yeah, Lagoon was like Six Flags. It was a little amusement park in Utah. Well, there was a guy, and he was a calf roper, and he was pretty crooked. He was cheating. His brother, when he'd push the calf, he'd pull the barrier. Every week he'd pull the barrier, and this guy would get out early and rope his calf. And he's a good roper, but he'd just cheat every time. And so during the slack one day on Saturday, my dad had enough of this. My brother won second or third to him 2 or 3 times, and my dad had all it's going to take. So what he said, he says, I'm going to go take care of that guy. Well, Dad was kind of tough, but this guy that was cheating, he liked to fight. And we thought, it's not going to be a good thing if my dad gets in a fight. But Dad was ticked. I mean, he could get mad. But he never lost his cool when he's mad. So the setup is this. The guy goes, rides his horse in the box, and Dad stands right in front of the box. The calf shoots right here. Dad's right here. And Dad waits until the guy turns around, backs his horse up to rope. And when he turns around, he looks up, and Dad's standing in front of the box like this. And he looks up at him. He looks at his head. He looks over in there until the guy, his brother, that's pushing the calf, until he looks up to see what's going on. When he does, he sees Dad peering over into the chutes like this. And he looks up there, and he looks like this. And he just backs up. He looks at the judge. He looks back over here like this, and then he backs up and stands over by the judge and just looks like this. And he's just out of the way, but he's just doing the obvious thing, and the guy jumps out and throws it in the dirt. Dad turns around and goes, just walks out and gets in the car without saying a word. It just, there's something about somebody who understands the mental capacity of people and knows how to use it against themselves. And as a man of security, working against insecurity. See, he knew that guy thought he had to have a gimmick to win. And Dad realized his weakness and stood in front of him. I remember my dad telling me about a bully that was picking on me. He said, he's just insecure. He's just insecure. That's all you need to know. You can figure out how to do this, but he's insecure. Mental toughness. Let's go over some things about mental toughness, okay? You mind some mental toughness, men? You want to know how to be mentally tough? Let's see here. Mentally tough people. I looked this up.
Mentally tough people, this is not in the Bible. Mentally tough people are self-motivated. The Bible doesn't say that anybody taught David how to play the harp. It doesn't say that anybody taught him how to do anything. What it says was he was a shepherd. He played the harp. He did this. He did that. He was interested in life. He was self-motivated. Self-motivated is important. My mom, this is my mom and dad Sunday, okay? My mom used to run a daycare center. And at her daycare center, believe it or not, when lunchtime came, the 2-year-olds, the 3-year-olds, the 4-year-olds, and the 5-year-olds would sit down at their place at the table. They would take their napkin and put their napkin in their lap. They would fold their hands and we would pray together. They would eat their food with their own fork. And when they were done, they would raise their hands to be dismissed or for seconds. 2, 3, 4, and 5-year-olds. They were going to shut her daycare center down one time, and they sent the inspector in at noon. And when he saw the kids behaving like they were behaving, he could do nothing but say, "I approve of this place," and mess their whole scheme up. But she was effective at that. Her key ingredient was this, and she learned it from me. I'm taking credit for this. She said, you take the person who's self-motivated, the little child is self-motivated, who is running things, who is in charge of everything, who will be in charge of your family, who are no matter where he's at, he is taking charge of something. If you get that child and you get him headed in the right direction, he'll use that self-motivation to do the right thing just as well as he'll use that thing to do the wrong thing. So she would sit her in on the kids that were the leaders. She would watch for leaders, and she would take the leader, and she would show them how to do the things. She would give them the right attention. She would teach them. She would develop them. And when she put them back in the classroom, they would run the other kids for them. Smart mom. God is looking for self-motivated people. If you want to be a leader, if you want to be successful, you be self-motivated, because self-motivated is what happens when you reduce all the lazy factors. Positive, realistic attitude. There's 3 bad attitudes that you can have. You can be so positive that nobody wants to pay any attention to you. You're off the fluff cliff. Yeah. Or you can be so negative that nobody wants to hang around with you. Or you can be the person who flip-flops from high to the low. Those you need to be right there in the middle. You need to be positive with a realistic look at things. Emotional self-control. You know how you find emotional self-control? You got to have a plan. The Bible says where there's no vision, people perish. Emotional self-control comes when you figure out what to do before the situation arrives. Calm under fire. Both of those two are real similar. My dad's deal on that, whenever he'd see somebody whooping on a horse, he would always say this. He just ran out of tools. Energetic and ready for action. These are the mental toughness things. Now, I want to tell you about David. David's in front of the Goliath, and he has this essay about how it's going to be God that fixes things. Just a couple of trash talk ideas, and we'll be done. Have you ever heard the term "over my dead body"? Yes. It came when 2 armies met in a single battlefield, and the leader of the one that won told his troops, he says, "They'll not get where we're going. If they do, it'll be over my dead body." Genghis Khan had this one. He said, "If you had not committed such great sins, God would not have sent a punishment like me upon you." That's pretty good trash talk. In cricket, they call it sledging trash talk. In hockey, they call it chirping. But in the Word of God, what we do is we call it preparation. Sometimes people need to hear that The things that are going to happen because God's in charge. And you're going to know that God is God. And when we see the end of this, you need to understand that God's going to have his way. And our job is to come into alignment with how he thinks and with how he feels. And when we do, God and God's will prevail. And parents, I want to talk to you for just a moment. This series, this is the introduction to it, but this series is intended to be aimed at the heart of men. When we started this church, we started this church with a focus group in mind that we're going to reach men. And ladies, don't think you're not important here. You are. But we're developing spiritual leadership, and it starts with men. When men can be the spiritual leader in the home, over 80% of the time, when the kids leave home, they stay in church. They continue their walk with God. It's your job to find out how and why your child operates the way he operates. Because we can see, God will give you men and ladies, we can see what God sees in our children. And if we don't see what God sees in our children, what we will do is we will pigeonhole them into their proper roles, into the places and ways that the world wants to see him. We'll put them in the places that, oh, they're the oldest in the family, you'll have to forgive him. Oh, he's the youngest in the family, you have to. No. Before God, God has a plan. And I'm not saying I'm the best in the world at this, but I realized at 10 years old that my son was interested in baseball. You ask him about any starter playing professional baseball, he knew his batting average. You know what he's doing now? He's writing for the Athletic. He's a beat writer for the Texas Rangers. You know why? He's headed that way. I have a son, Jordan, who's a pastor at a cowboy church. I had to take his rope away from him because one night he was sleeping with his rope and we found it around his neck. So we started having to put his stick horse away in the stall and hang his rope up on the door of the bedroom so he wouldn't choke himself to death at night. You know what he's doing now? He's still roping. He's pastoring a cowboy church. He's roping. And they have over 200 head of roping steers now. And one out of every 10 of those roping steers is now butchered and given to the food banks. And they have given over 64,000 pounds of hamburger away. Now, I realize it's confusing because I had a third child. I could not figure out what in the world he was made for. Couldn't do it. He liked everything. He lived life to the fullest. God took him at 13 and he lived a full life. God knows what he's doing. Let me tell you something that happened to our youngest child. A week before he was taken in a car wreck, the youth pastor challenged the youth group to missions. Shay makes this statement. He said, I would give my life if my classmates would all get saved. He went home on a Wednesday night, that night at the Revista, at the Baptist church there, every student in his class went to church that night, and all of them raised their hands for salvation. The worst thing that can happen is your kids not be in heaven with you. And you're going to find some things about David that are revealing. You're going to find some things about David that are challenging. And with all of this, when we get through with this study, you're going to be a better man.